Hey, I'm Tammy Zadunik, your host of Lead Like a Girl, the feminine leadership podcast from the Well Collab. This is a space for honest, unfiltered conversations about leading with heart, courage, and emotional intelligence. I sit down with inspiring women to explore leadership beyond the hustle, grounded in equity, connection, and authenticity. Let's reimagine leadership together.
I'm Macy Parento. I'm a second year university student here at the University of Saskatchewan, and I am also a suicide survivor.
And you speak like really openly about that.
I do.
Mm-hmm. And I think that even impressed me. I was like, oh, because so I have had mental illness since I was quite young. But when I talked to my parents about it, they had no idea what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Because that was like almost 30 years ago. When I was 17 when I first started knowing that there was quite a serious problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm 46 and now it's very different. When you talk to your parent, they actually know. But because your mom's probably like younger than me or the similar
age. Yeah.
Yeah. So we know because we have learned, we've grown up with it coming out more into the open.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Yeah. But I used to deal with it through telling everybody that I was having a panic attack, and people would respond really well. And I feel like being open about it is actually like a really beautiful way to be.
It is. And I have found so much healing through being open about it, because I've really like growing. I was diagnosed when I was 9 years old with anxiety and depression. And then that like just continued throughout my life, kind of like building off of that. Ended up with like a severe depressive disorder and stuff like that. So it's always been a part of me, but a part of me that I didn't want to share because I was so embarrassed about it. It was like we're doing better now in like today's society, but there is still like that stigma around it. You know, you don't want to feel weak. You don't want to, there's a chemical imbalance in your brain, but you don't want to admit that. It's very hard. It's not a physical like injury that you can see and you can put a cast on it and it's okay. So I think me opening up and talking about it has been so freeing, because it's like this weight off my shoulders. It's like I don't have to wear this mask anymore of walking through life like I'm okay. Like it's okay not to be okay. Now I'm open about it. I can share my struggles and relate to people as well. So
yeah, I just don't really think that anyone's really okay. Like, I think people have tools and techniques and abilities that they've learned to process. But everyone has, like, stuff in their lives, and we all deal with it differently. And that's where I think mental illness comes in, because of the way we deal with it.
Oh, for sure.
Is different, and some people are able to deal with it in a different way that doesn't show up that way.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think, like, it's interesting that people use that as a negative towards you. And I like, not you as in the royal you, not you personally, but I think I would worry about it from my own perspective as a professional. I didn't shy away from sharing that I have mental illness. I always talk about it, but I definitely think, oh, do people sort of distrust me?
Oh, 100%. Even like social media is like my biggest platform, and it's what I'm always posting about, like where I'm sharing my story on social media and I'm showing what I'm doing and all this stuff. And I'm like, do people like look me up and then figure this out? And then they're like, I don't know. Like that kind of makes me wanna, you know, steer away and not like, and it's not, I'm sure people don't do it, but it's still always in the back of your head. Like, what are people gonna think about me knowing this like super vulnerable part of me, which is so, so crazy that like that's where my mind goes, but it is what we deal with like every day.
Yeah. And I think like, sorry, if you can, might be able to hear the dog eating in the background. Now decided to crunch right beside us. Ruby's like the off-camera star. I think it's like whenever you put yourself out there in some way, in a strong way.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people are really going to relate. And then there's going to be those people who criticize. But I think they're generally the people who just don't want to admit to themselves.
They're for sure. Yeah.
That they're dealing with. Are you comfortable sharing like your story?
Yeah. I was like clinically diagnosed when I was 9 with anxiety and what they call childhood depression. So thinking back on it, I really do think like the depression was almost like a symptom of the anxiety. My childhood, I had symptoms when I was like signs and symptoms when I was like young, kindergarten. I struggled being like social with kids. I hated the concept of like recess and not being in like a supervised like environment. And I would have panic attacks before I went to school. Like it was so real, all of these like overwhelming emotions. I ended up like, I couldn't sleep. I was scared that something was going to happen while I was sleeping. I didn't want my mom to leave the house because I was scared she was going to get in an accident on her way to work and stuff like that. And it, when I was like young like that, it's really hard to vocalize and like describe all these feelings and what they are. And I really could only tell like my mom. I was like, mom, my life is just too hard. Like waking up and dealing and going through life is just too hard. And I did, like, all throughout my life, it's been a struggle and it's been a journey. So ended up trying every different medication, naturopaths, therapies, psychotherapies, like everything in the books, and nothing seemed to work for me. I ended up like just getting in such a dark space where it was like I didn't understand happiness. I didn't understand joy. Like I was going through high school, just I felt numb, really. When I was 15 years old, it would have been like the summer of 2020, I ended up in the hospital after trying to take my own life. And I think that was like a big, not wake up call, but just, you know, the people around me kind of gathered around me and realized like we need to fix something. We need to try and figure out how I can keep battling through life and keep having the drive to wake up and, you know, continue through my journey. And then I've been an athlete my whole life. I've always played sports. I was a dancer when I was young, and I ended up playing college softball for a year in Montana. So I think athletics was huge for me in my journey, and that's what got me out of bed on my darkest days, was going to the gym or going to practice, you know, having people that I had to show up for on a team, and ended up wanting to show up for myself in the gym, like stuff like that. So I do contribute a lot of like who I am to athletics and sport, and now it's a huge part of my life, and it's been a huge part of my like mental health journey and what's kind of kept me going, along with like my family and my mom. So it has been a kind of like whirlwind. I feel like I've lived so many different lives in like my 19 years of living, but it has been a constant battle. And the thing about like mental illness is it's not something that you can just like cure. You can't put a cast on it and then it heals. Like it's a journey and there's ups and downs, and I would be lying if I said I was like okay all the time, because it's so not true. Like I still go through dark times, and I still have to choose to battle every day and wake up, and I have to choose happiness and stuff like that. But it has, I don't want to say that there is no like light at the end of the tunnel, because it does get better, but it's always going to be a part of you.
Yeah, and I think it's the thing with mental health is it's cyclical. There's so many things that affect it.
Oh, 100%.
The weather affects it.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships affect it. Expectations, responsibilities, exercise.
Oh, for sure, yes.
What you're eating. There's so many layers to it. It's not just take the pill and you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And hormones play a huge role.
Yes.
For women, for girls. So I think about myself now in my 40s, you're 19. So you're really the age that I was when I first started to get really sick.
Yeah.
Whereas now I can like almost look back at my life and see things as those highs and lows and these hills and these cycles and seasons. And it makes it less scary for me.
Yeah.
When I start to feel myself slipping into like panic. I think, oh, you know what? I'm going to give myself sort of 2 weeks. I'm not even going to worry about it.
Yeah.
Just going to let it roll out and see what happens. And I'll check in 2 weeks. And usually if I do that, it just kind of goes away. Yeah. I think it's like when we really harshly judge how we're feeling or catastrophize it, it can make our mental health a lot worse.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
And it just like even constantly like talking about it and having people be like, how are you feeling? Tell me about this and tell me about this. It's like it opens up those wounds, you know what I mean? And there is a part of healing, don't get me wrong, that's all about talking about it and being open and authentic. But it's also like you have to understand that that was this portion of your life. There is bigger and better things to come post.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought up as well the exercise, because I know like I'm a part of You Are More, which is for sexual violence survivors and victims. And Lindsay, who founded that, she founded it on the principle that like talk therapy alone isn't always enough for people who need movement. And she really found like healing through integrating movement for her mental health.
Oh, for sure.
Started this whole like foundation on that. And I think when you talk about how movement and exercise has been something that's helped you heal, and also just healing doesn't mean you're just free of it.
Yeah.
But like healing in the moments. I think for myself, I stopped dancing when I graduated high school, and that's when I got really sick.
Okay, yeah.
And I think not having that consistent endorphins and healthy dopamine and movement.
It's a scientific fact that our bodies need movement. Our mental health, so much of our mental health is contributed to the exercise that we get. And I literally, it was such a saving grace in my life, because I'm really bad at talking about how I feel. Like, I'm really bad at it. I hate the concept of being vulnerable. Like, I just am so bad at talking about my emotions. But physical like exercise and activity gave me somewhere where I could be so strong physically that it didn't matter that I was so weak mentally, if that makes sense. I was able to go into the gym and I was able to physically make myself stronger, and in hopes that that would contribute to working on that like mental fortitude and all that stuff.
Which so, it does.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I think just like even me, like my build, I'm a very muscular build. Like the gym is so important to me, and I don't go in there in hopes of like looking a certain way, or I need to do this much cardio so I can look this way and da 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 da. It isn't that for me. It's me going into the gym because this is my safe place. This is a place where I can push myself physically when mentally I could barely get out of bed this morning. So it is, I cannot say enough about how important physical activity is on your mental.
Yeah, and I think it's like finding the thing that you like doing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because if you don't enjoy something, like it's really easy to tell someone to get out of bed and go for a walk. But if they're not going to enjoy going for a walk, there's no point in it. They're not going to integrate that habit into their life. It's not going to help them adapt. It's just simply going to be a chore for them to go for a walk. It's going to be a chore to get out of bed. You know what I mean? So it's all finding something that you enjoy and that brings you happiness, that gives you a sense of community, all that.
Yeah, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Well, how did you find it?
Well, like growing up as an athlete, like sport was a huge part of my life. And then my dad is actually like super big into the gym. He's like a big little muscle guy. It kind of looks like Popeye, but we always bully him about it. But so I kind of, you know, I see him going to the gym and I'm like, okay, cool. You know, this is going to help with my athletic performance. This is going to help me jump that much higher and run that much faster. So that's kind of how I essentially got into it. And then it just kind of like snowballed. Like I'm now a certified personal trainer and I'm able to kind of, you know, give people passion for the gym that I have, like share my passion for the gym, which is kind of an awesome thing to do.
Yeah, and you just won something? Didn't you win a competition?
Yes, I won the strongman competition. I guess strong woman, I don't know. But it was, yeah, one of the hardest things I feel like I've probably ever done, just because it was like so out of my comfort zone. Like it was nothing that I would ever have thought I would ever compete in, but it was super fun. And yeah, I'm glad I did it. The training was fun and yeah.
Did someone recommend you to do that?
Yeah, so I work at a gym called Pit Fitness, and Tyler, the owner there, trains a woman who competes in strongman competitions, and then kind of like put the bird in my ear and was like, you should register. And I was like, okay, I did it. And then ended up doing it and loving it. So yeah, kind of crazy how I was like, honestly, so out of my comfort zone. But I was like, oh, maybe this season of my life, I just have to like try new things. So I was like, you know what? Whatever. Nothing lost. Like, it's not like.
Yeah. I think there's something about not judging our decisions so harshly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's intention, but you already know your intention is to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So when you make a decision like that, don't judge it. Just say yeah and do it.
Yeah.
And like, just do the next right thing. Like, sign up.
Yeah. And what like harm could be done? You know what I mean? It's, I don't know, even because I did this competition and I was like, oh, I don't know, like, so not my vibe, you know, not that like it really matters, but it was just like so not something that I would do, and I did it and I loved it. And I was like, why did I care? Like, why did I make this such a big deal that I like didn't like the grunge and like stuff? Like, I'm just like, it was fun. Like, why would I care if, you know, having big muscles doesn't fit the idea of femininity or whatever we have? Like, it's just like, I'm in this point of my life. I'm like, I'm just done trying to please everyone around me. It's so exhausting. I just kind of want to do me.
Good for you for learning that before you hit 40.
I'm still working on it.
No big deal. Macy's just 20 years ahead. yeah, I love everything you just said there. I saw the videos, which is how I knew you had done the strongman competition. I think you're probably going to have more competitors next year because I think you're going to make it more popular.
I don't know. That was like my goal. It's a, you know, smaller sport, but you're always trying to bring people into a sport, and it's an awesome community. So
they seemed like so encouraging and cheering.
Oh my gosh. It was like crazy. Like everyone's just like yelling at you and like, go, keep going. And I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of cool. Like, I'm like, everyone's just yelling my name right now. It's such a awesome community to be a part of, because it's like, yeah, you're still competing and you're still, you know, have that like competitive edge, but you're cheering on your competitors. Like, you want them to do good. It's just like a community of strong people.
Yeah, because I feel like when I watch it, even though it's a competition against like the other strong people beside you, really it's like everyone's personal best.
100%. Oh yeah.
Yeah, it very much seemed like everyone just pushing each other to do their best was really what it was about. Sure, there's a winner.
For sure.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So everyone can like check that out. We'll have a link.
Yeah, for sure.
And your gym and everything. But I would love to talk more about like your family, like your mom. Like, tell me a little bit about your mom. Tell me about your relationship with your mom. Tell me about like how your mom's a rock for you.
Me and my mom, like, I think I tell her everything. Like, she's my best friend. Clocky here. She's gonna bring that up one day. But she is my best friend. Like, I don't know who I would be without her. I attribute so much of who I am to how she raised me and the grace that she's given me in my life and the support that she's given me. She works at a like a senior living facility. She owns her own business there. And like, since I've always watched her take care of people. That's, you know, that's who she is. She's always taking care of people. One of the most selfless ladies I think I've ever met in my entire life. And I'm not just saying that because she's my mom, but seriously, so selfless, would do anything for her kids.
Listen, a lot of 19-year-olds don't speak highly of their moms. I think if you're saying it, it's because it's true.
Yeah, well, for sure. I mean, don't get me wrong. She drives me crazy. I love her to bits, but she's the one that got me out of bed. Like, I have the words tattooed across my thigh, and it says, "Still I rise." And it's because of her. When I was, like, in my darkest of times, she would always be like, "My girl, you're going to move mountains one day." Like, that was, you know, "My girl, you have big things. I adore you. I have the words 'I adore you' tattooed on me." It's, she's the one that, like, showed me that there could be a future.
Did it ever annoy you?
Yeah, I think so. When I, I'm not going to get emotional, but when I didn't want to live and you have someone telling you to keep fighting, it's like, why are you doing this? You know, I just saw myself as so worthless. I was like, why, how do you still love me? I'm unlovable. How do you still want me to get out of bed and want me to keep fighting? But she was always like, my girl, you have big things. My girl, you will move mountains. She's my biggest cheerleader. She's always so proud of me. And she, not single-handedly, but she is the one that kept me alive.
I think that mothering, I always talk about mothering, that it's not about birthing a child. Mm-hmm. Mothering, we're all mothers to the next generation.
Yeah.
And I think mothering really is that compassion and that empathy and grace. And I cannot even imagine what she went through emotionally and mentally.
Oh, for sure.
Because we look at our kids and we just see all the potential and the beauty and the possibility and so much hope.
Yeah.
And it's really hard. And I know from experience of having to let my kids figure stuff out on their own and just be there to catch them, mm-hmm. that it is the most vulnerable, hard thing to do.
Yes.
Because essentially you have control of your life and she can influence you. And she did, mm-hmm. obviously, in a very good way.
Oh, for sure.
To keep you here. You ultimately made that choice.
Yeah.
To stay. I know that you are a suicide survivor, so I understand that means there was an attempt. Mm-hmm. But you made the choice.
Yeah.
To be here. And you were not meant to leave.
Yeah, exactly. I literally cannot imagine what she went through, but she did such a good job of being strong for me. She was my strength when I didn't have any. She carried me through the fire. Like, that's how, I don't know, I look at her and I just, she is so strong to me, and she is like the image of what I want to be as a mother, I feel. Even though I'm not thinking about that at all in my life. But everything I want to be and more, I think.
Yeah, and I think one thing to note is you don't ever have to be a mother.
No.
The thing is, you will be a mother, because I really do believe that women really just have this in them. Hormonally, I don't know if it's hormonally, whatever it is, we just have this nurturing quality. And what you're doing as a leader, mm-hmm. as a feminine leader, is already mothering.
Yeah.
To girls who look up to you and to women who are older than you. Still look up to you.
Yeah.
We're just older, but looking up still in the sense of like being inspired, mm-hmm. appreciating the story. I mean, I know a lot of women my age and older who can't share if there was a suicide attempt.
Yeah.
They can't share that. They're not comfortable sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
That takes so much courage.
It does. And I wouldn't have done it without my mom. Like, so the first time I actually ever admitted that I was a suicide survivor, the words ever came out of my mouth, was at this, I was the valedictorian at this grade 12 Indigenous graduation. So I graduated 2023. There was this big, like, celebration at TCU, and I was appointed the valedictorian, and I went up there and I shared my story, finally admitted to the world that this was my journey and this is who I was. And even though I was going through high school, I was an honor roll, athlete of the year. Like it was, I had this perfect facade. I just kind of like opened up and I was like, this is me. This is me raw and authentically myself. And I wouldn't have done it without my mom, because she was the one that pushed me to, not pushed me, but she was like, this is, you're blessed with this story and you're blessed with the voice to share it. So why not share it? She helped me write my speech. She was the first one that I hugged when I got off the stage. Like it was, she helped me create this platform. And it was so funny because that graduation where I shared my story is actually where I met Tarrant Crosschild, who runs Prairie Run Crew, and which is who I work for now. And he was there, his son was graduating, and he had was gonna miss it because of like a plane, I don't know, the plane was gonna land early or something, but he ended up making it and then reached out to me, and I spoke at this Shoppers Drug Mart Run for Women. And like that's just how my story went, this one time of opening myself up and being vulnerable and finally accepting that this is who I was. And then it just like snowballed, and now I am who I am today, and I work for Prairie Run Crew, and I'm able to share my story and, you know, just be who I am. And it's awesome.
And I think what keeps coming to mind for me is like, you have this whole story, mm-hmm. and you have a history and a life, and you have lineage and ancestral history, and there's so much to you,
mm-hmm.
and you're still so young.
Yeah.
But it's one actually very small part of your story.
Oh, for sure.
And I understand that the reason it's somewhat you identify with it, which is good because it's giving hope to other people. But I think I just keep being reminded that it's such a small part of what your life is going to be.
Yeah.
But in a sense, it might be the catalyst.
Oh, for sure.
Which is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But just the excitement for me of seeing someone like you at your age talking about it and having so much healing and like movement and just understanding yourself and just owning it and accepting and moving forward. Like mm-hmm. there's so much to your forward.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one part that's really hard about like opening up and sharing my story is like I said, opening up those wounds is tough and it's exhausting and it's very hard to, like you said, identify as that being the sole purpose of who you are and what you do. And like, we are so much more than the trials and tribulations that we've faced. And I don't know, I've grown so much, but there is still so much growing that I need to do. But I think I'm destined for a lot more than simply being a suicide survivor.
Oh yeah, that's one, it's one thing that happened along the journey. Yeah. And I think you're still quite close to it. You were 16?
Yeah, 15.
Yeah, so that's very recent.
Yeah.
It probably doesn't feel that way, because I think when you're through those years of adolescence, there's so much growth.
Oh yeah.
Like I think with my kids, they're 13, 15, and 17 right now, and there's just like tremendous growth happening to each of them.
For sure. Even like this last year, I'm like, I don't even recognize myself anymore. A year ago was in Montana playing college softball, and like now I'm running 5Ks and competing in strongman comps, and like it's just, I have changed so much. Even coming back to Saskatoon, I kind of realized, I was like, oh, you know, I'm like running into people that I know from high school, and it's like, I am not that same person that I was in high school. I'm so different, and I'm just like, it's crazy how quickly life can change and how quickly you can grow and adapt to it as well.
And I think one thing that's really important, I know my therapist, I was probably not too much older than you when I went to the best therapist I've ever went to, and she retired within months of, I think I saw her twice.
No way.
Yeah, her name was Dr. Maxine South. She changed my life. I still remember so many of the things she taught me. And one of them was, she showed me a graph. And I'm telling you this because I think that you'll need this at some point.
Mm.
She showed me a graph, and it it showed how it started at the bottom and it went up and then a little bit down and then up and then a little bit down. So overall, the arc was up.
Yeah.
But throughout, I kept hitting down. And she said, what you're going to feel, so you're going to come all this way and then you're going to go down a little bit and you're going to feel like you're all the way down here. But you're just here. And then you're going to go up more and you're going to go here. But when you're here, you're going to feel like you're all the way down here. What you have along the way is like education.
Yeah.
And trust in yourself and strength and people and community and all these things you've built up. And the reason I share that is because I understand how mental health works. Mm-hmm. And I know that throughout the course of my last 20 years, I've hit a lot of bottoms that feel like the bottom.
Yeah.
But they're not the bottom.
Yeah.
They were nowhere near the bottom. Nowhere close, because every year and every person I talk to and every article I read and everything, strength I gain, just I never hit that bottom again.
Oh, for sure.
And I think thinking we hit the bottom is sometimes like the worst part of the bottom.
Yeah, because you tumble into this dark hole and you're like clawing at the walls. You're like, how do I get out of this? But you've got out of it before. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you have the strength, you have the skill set to get out of this darkness where you once didn't. So I totally get what you mean. And that makes so much sense. Because even now, I'm like, oh my gosh, I talk like I'm like healed and all this stuff. But what they wouldn't know is like a week ago, I couldn't get out of bed. A week ago, I had an emergency trip to the doctor to try and figure out some medication that I could get on. Like, it's, you're never gonna have times that aren't dark. You know what I mean? Like, it's always gonna be those like ebbs and flows kind of, but there is a point where you have that strength to get out of the bottom of the hill. You have the strength to keep growing from that. So no, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, I just always, it's, you're so important to me. I know we don't really know each other, but it really matters to me that you care for yourself and your health and that you prioritize yourself.
Yeah.
Always number one. I know for myself, like I could never work at like a normal job because my mental health wouldn't allow me to. And I thought I was more important than, it was more important for me to be an entrepreneur, have my own business.
Yeah.
Create my own hours, create my own lifestyle so that I could take care of myself above anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew that I wouldn't survive otherwise.
Oh, for sure.
I always just tell my kids when we talk about mental health and suicide, I just say, if you have cancer, you can die from the cancer, might kill you. When you have mental health, you might die of suicide. It's not, it's the same.
Yeah.
It's not that you're taking your own life. It's that suicide is a result. It's a result of mental health that can happen. Mm-hmm. It's not like the person is making a conscious choice.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's hard to understand if you haven't been there. And I think that's why it's interesting talking to someone who has went through that.
Yeah, it is. Because it's also like, well, when you're diagnosed with cancer, then you're going to take time to yourself because you need to go to treatments. You're going to take time to rest and relax. Your body is going through something traumatic. When you have mental illness, it's the same thing.
You just go to work the next day.
You literally just have to go into work. But like, you have to take the time to treat the illness. Like, it's not something that you can just ignore and keep pushing back, because then it's just going to come back with a vengeance. Like, you have to understand that, yeah, you can't physically see the illness, but it is ever present. And it's not just going to disappear. You're going to have to go through the treatment and you're going to have to figure out in your life what you can adjust to make it work. And it's not, you know, it's like, I am like such a bad people pleaser. I'm like, I literally just want people around me to like me. And I think the past couple months, I've really realized that it's like, why am I trying so hard to like please the people around me? I'm spreading myself so thin. I'm so exhausted and I don't understand what doing something for me means. So it's like, I've really come into terms with like, let me try this, but if it doesn't work for me and my mental health and my schedule, then I can say goodbye to it. And that's okay. I'm not going to be letting the people around me down. And
it doesn't matter if you do let them down.
No. It does.
It's okay to let people down. And I think what helped me understand that was when I'm afraid to let someone down, I am saying that I don't think they're capable.
Mm-hmm.
And when I quit worrying about letting people down, it's because I actually believe they're capable to figure the thing out without me.
Cool.
So it almost feels like the difference between thinking someone capable means, like if I apply that to my kids, if I step in to help them, mm-hmm. then I'm saying, I don't think you're capable to handle this on your own, so I'm going to handle it for you. But when I say, I think you're capable, then they think they're capable.
Yes.
So I've shifted that. And it was so funny, Macy, because I had this recent moment at my parents' house. So my parents are 77 and 80. Okay. And they are the most lovely, lovely people. I missed two calls from my mom today. So I'm hoping she's like worrying about, she's probably worrying about me, but I'm fine. I'll call her back after the podcast. But the other day I was having like a really emotional moment. I was over there and I didn't expect to tell my parents something that was going on in my family life, but okay. It just kind of came out
mm-hmm.
and I started crying and I just broke down. And I feel like, well, I'm 46. I'm like an adult. I'm not supposed to break down in front of my parents.
Yeah.
And I started to cry and my mom was on a different couch and she said, oh, honey, do you need a hug? And I walked over, I just moved over and she held me while I cried. And dad just was quiet, sitting in his chair, totally fine, comfortable, not uncomfortable. My dad cries like every day almost.
I love it.
He's very, very softy. And then, so that happens and we just kind of continue a new conversation and they just gave me the space I needed. And then when I went to leave, I said, dad, like, because mom had was somewhere else. And I said, can you just like, you don't need to worry. Like, mm-hmm. it's fine. We're figuring it out. I'm figuring it out. We're going to be okay. And he's like, oh, honey, I'm not worried about you. I know you're capable.
Oh, I love that.
I was like, oh, my goodness. So I came home and I told my son, who's 17, what had happened. And he said, mom, they're still parenting you. Mm-hmm. He's like, isn't that so amazing that they're still parenting you? And I just feel like I learned so much through that, like, generational interaction.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Of how they believe I'm capable, which it just made me feel like capable.
Mm-hmm. So exactly.
That's kind of like one of my new messages right now, I feel like is considering other people capable.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, even like getting out of high school and kind of entering like this new stage of my life, like me and my parents, it's not that our relationship has changed so much, but it is different. You know what I mean? Like it's not there. There's no one in my life that's like telling me what to do every hour of the day. You know what I mean? Like I have this thing called free will. It's kind of crazy. But it's like me and my mom, like I honestly feel like our relationship is so much closer because she's like, I am just so proud of you and the choices that you're making and what you're doing with your life. And it's like before, like in high school, she was still like holding my hand and guiding me through what I needed to do. But now it's like, she's empowering me and making me feel capable that I'm able to do this whole life thing on my own. Oh my gosh, it's so stressful, but like it is awesome that she trusts me to be making decisions for myself. And it, I don't know, I still like kind of feel like I can't sometimes. I'm like, mom, can you read over this text? Like, I don't know if I should send it. And she's like, oh, sweetie, uh-oh, what are we gonna do? But I'm like, it's just, yeah, like it changes. But especially when you get older, like just knowing that your parents know your strength and they know you are capable of making decisions and getting through those tough times, it's really kind of eye-opening a little bit.
You will always feel some, I feel like you just forever feel a bit like a kid with your parents.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I think you have a great mom. I have to have her on the podcast now.
Oh my gosh. She would probably hate it, but I would love to see her on the podcast. She is like, hates getting her picture taken, hates like being social and talking. But like, it's so funny because you see her at work and you see her around like 98-year-old like people and she will never stop talking. She is like the life of the party. But then you see her like in some like communities and I'm just like, it's so funny. She is like, I don't know. She is very private, I think. And I think, I mean, she was never like the one who was like, my mom is out with like her friends, like having like at a party or whatever. Like it was never that. It was always she's with us. Like that's the kind of mom that she was. So she's very like private and reserved and would probably hate like talking about it. But I think you could get her to open up.
Ideal that I could.
I think
challenge accepted.
I love it. No, I definitely. I think you could.
I would love to talk to her about elder care.
Oh, for sure.
And as people age, what they need.
Oh my gosh, she could go on for hours about that. There you go. I know. There's the loophole. I love it.
Thank you, Macy, yeah, for no, being here.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad we could talk and have this. I feel like it was like a little therapy session almost.
I think that's why I love podcasting. It always feels like a little therapy for me.
Mm, yeah.
It's connection. It's community. It's like everything that matters to me. Amplifying your voice.
Thank you. I love it.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.